Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to spend a bit more time on the metals sector. Not so much on the precious metals. Well, I will obviously touch on those. I'm going to start off the show as I am chatting here with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Dave, I want to talk about base metals, more specifically copper, because copper, you and I have been talking about it over the last couple months, really, there where copper has been continuing to grind higher. And even at the end of this week, copper had a pretty significant breakout, now trading right around that 330 level. That level hasn't been hit since 2014. The most recent highs has been around 330, just above 330, and that was at the tail end of 2017. Now this breakout in copper, as you and I have talked about in the last couple of months, I've been on record saying I don't totally buy into this copper move just because look at how we're living. We're going through the second wave. We still don't have all this financial support from governments and from central banks, although they are still easy. And even if we do get that support, to me, it seems questionable that it's going to actually land in productive assets like copper for infrastructure buildouts. Dave, give us a little insights on what you're seeing in the copper market and why you think the copper price keeps on moving higher.
Yeah, Corey, it's funny. We were talking off mic. I'm kind of in the same camp as you. But I think recently copper prices hit multi-year highs because of worries about possible supply disruptions following that unrest in Peru and the optimism of a launch of Chinese futures contract open to international investors. So that's a reason for the recent pop. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we see the same thing with the stock market continuing to go all-time highs. A vaccine on this vaccine news that we know that, even if the vaccine does come out, it's not going to come out for a while. And people just keep buying stocks, even though if you take a look at the Shiller PE index for the S&P 500, it's nearly double what the average of 17 times has been. So, I mean, it's funny. You hate to buy things when they look like they're overvalued, and copper just seems to me like it's overvalued here, but it just keeps going higher, just like stocks. And on the other side of the base metal coin, you look at zinc. It's doing the same thing on supply squeezes because there was that mine in the Gamsberg mine in South Africa was just shut down, and that's where a lot of zinc comes into the market from. So zinc hit an 18-month high on that. So you see these things, and then you take a look at your daily life, and it kind of doesn't add up. So you just kind of like, you know what, I don't want to buy the hype, and I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, it's tough though, right? Because you see copper keep on moving higher, and I do want to be optimistic. And hey, maybe copper is telling us that we'll see a little bit of inflation coming back. Maybe we will get an infrastructure bill, but I've almost run numb to that whole narrative because I've heard it for years and we haven't gotten that infrastructure bill. Eventually it will happen. And you know what? You are right. There have been some serious supply restrictions, so that can help move it higher. But are you looking at any companies here? Do you think any companies offer value because of how much the copper price has run? Or is this one of those where still best to sit back and wait and maybe get more conclusive evidence that copper is going to continue higher?
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, there's one on my watch list that I really like. And they just announced a $27 million exploration program, and they have a US AMEX list as well. Absolutely. And I'm looking at some of these copper stocks and thinking about maybe getting into one or two, but right now probably not. I'll probably wait a little while longer.
How much do you think this copper move also depends on some sort of a spending bill being passed in government? Is that at play here, or is copper looking at some of these other supply and demand factors?
Oh, yeah, we know infrastructure spending bill's coming, And China just keeps growing also. You know, they've handled this COVID crisis a lot better than the West has. So I think that's where a lot of the buying is coming from.
Well, and that's the other consideration too, right? China is doing much better economically with their whole, I guess, restart, we can call it. And China can be a nice driver for copper. And in all fairness, it's this whole base metals play, right? That money has flown into base metals. That being said, we look on the other side of things, precious metals. Precious metals just continue to drift, or at least precious metal stocks do. Gold still very much, it had a boring week this week and drifted a little bit lower, but you look again at GDX or GDXJ and those continue to move down. And I think even more importantly, we're reaching the end of the year. And something you and I were talking about off mic is any investor in precious metal stocks in the last about 5 months, as they were most likely chasing it higher and hearing all these gold bug news stories about gold's just going to keep going higher, it's going to be 2,500 by the end of the year, they're all at a loss position right now. So we need to understand their mentality as we head into the end of the year. How are you playing this for your investments?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, they're getting a lesson in this sector, if they're not familiar with it, that you never chase price no matter what, especially in these juniors. But, I've been fortunate recently. You know, I had one of my stocks taken over. Taranga Gold was taken over by Endeavor Gold here this week. And I went ahead and sold that position because I'd like to take the cash and move it into, you know, an undervalued junior here that's being sold off for tax loss reasons and also for the gold price most likely testing that 1800 level now. I mean, that's basically what the shares are telling us here, that it looks like gold's is gonna lose that 1850 level where there's a lot of stops. So, you know, we're getting a little bounce here, but the shares have been showing relative weakness to the gold price ever since we had that $118 whipsaw last week on the vaccine news. So I've built up some cash. You know, I had one stock that was at a loss that I sold for tax loss. Unfortunately, that was the only one. So I built up a little cash hoard here and I've got a watch list. And, if I see a fishing line sell off down to a level that it offers good value in one of those stocks on the watch list, I'll go ahead and buy it. It's nice to have a little bit of cash here going into the end of the year. It always is. You know, I mean, there's always going to be tax loss selling. And it's funny, if you take a look at what happened in 2016, the sector had a huge move from January of 2016 into late July, early August, and that was about 6 months. And the GDXJ, I think, went up 140-150%, something like that. And then once it peaked in that July-August period, you had a very sharp correction down into December, and it ended in December with tax loss season. Now, the same thing is happening here, but this time, not everything is being sold. You know, you are seeing bifurcation in the juniors that are de-risking higher margin projects. What you're seeing selling off more is more optionality plays. You know, the companies that did their PEAs at a base case of higher than 1350 gold, those are selling off even more. But what happened in 2016 just might happen again this year, where we see a significant bottom in December, mid-December, mid to late December.
So, Dave, 2016, though, in all fairness, the market went sideways after 2016 for about 4 years until it started breaking out. Let's say 3 years until it started breaking out in 2019. Are there any similarities that you're seeing to 2019? Instead, you look at something like GDX on a monthly chart, and it moved higher up through August and then started to roll over. It did manage to put in a bit more of a base in November, though. It's a similar form this year, where GDX peaked about a month earlier at the very beginning of August, and it has headed a bit lower to a degree percentage-wise than last year. Are there any similarities to last year instead of that 2016 where people could be scared that it's just a range-bound trade for years afterwards?
Yeah, well, the huge difference, Corey, is the macro fundamentals are much more favorable to gold right now. And at that time, gold was in the process of what eventually became forming a six and a half year base before it finally broke out of that base. And that was part of that process. I mean, the move began with a short cover move in the sector as the GDX had gone down 85% in like 4 years. 3 years, I think, 3.5, 4 years. That's a huge move down. So the shorts began to take their money as soon as the bottom was in, and then some value investors came in, and then some you know, momentum investors came in and chased price, and it bid up the sector way too far, too fast. So it needed to have that really long consolidation process. This time, the consolidation process has been a lot milder, because the macro fundamentals are so much stronger, and there's a very strong support down there at that 1750 to 1800 level, because 1800 was very strong resistance back during the last bull market in 2008 to 2010. It ran up to 1920 in 2011, you know, on a blow off move, and then it came back down sharply. But then it back tested 1800 a few times, and it never closed above 1800 on a monthly basis. Well, it's closed above 1800 on a quarterly basis twice now. And this is just normal, healthy action as far as the long-term bull market is concerned, and having that 1800 level tested, which I think is going to happen now.
Okay. So in summary, still some weakness ahead for the precious metals, but for everyone or anyone that has some cash on the sidelines, should be a very good opportunity, let's say in a month, maybe even less than a month, a few weeks, as some of these stocks get hit a little bit more for tax loss selling. What if investors don't have a large cash position right now? Do you think it's a good time to sell maybe some of the stocks that have held up there to build up some cash, or is it a bit too late now? Is it now just time to sit and wait?
Well, you know, it all depends on your own personal situation. I mean, if this is money that you don't need, if this is money that's in your account that is speculation money, I think it's too late to sell. But all, of course, it all depends on the stock, and it all depends on your situation. But you know, if you do have something that you've got a lot of gains in and it really hasn't corrected much, then you might want to rotate some of that out and put it in some cash now, and put it in something that's on your watch list that you think has a chance of getting cheaper.
All right, fair enough, Dave. Let's wrap it up here. Good having you on the weekend show. Always great chatting with you week after week covering the metals sector. Undoubtedly, as we move into the end of the year, we will see more news coming out of these companies, more drill results. So that has a chance to be a catalyst on the upside for some of these stocks. But right now, the more those drill results are delayed, unfortunately, the more these stocks continue to drift. Dave, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll chat with you again next week. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks a lot.